Post show. Post show.
Sounds good. That's so beautiful.
This is the Sonic the Hedgehog English soundboard.
English soundboard. Hey, hey, come on. Hey, Eddie. All right. I don't want to go overboard with our new toys.
No! Come back!
You got it, Sonic. So, yeah, we finally did a sake show. It was different. It was different.
Yeah, we didn't have a very deep vocabulary.
No.
Pears, apples, strawberries, vanilla, oak, dark fruit, cherries.
I was glad to do That's it, though.
About it. Yeah,
I mean,
it was fun.
Herby. You know, we had Herby in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and nice thing, you know, very easy to save, right?
Just just put them back in the fridge.
Yeah. Okay. Batman. So you didn't see the new Batman.
Not yet. I plan on it, but I haven't. Yeah.
I saw the new Batman. I saw the new Batman the day, or like 2 days after it came out. Like a day after the shooting or whatever it was. So I couldn't wear my costume that I told everybody about.
Uh-huh.
They banned costumes. Because, yeah, that was the problem.
What's up with all the fucking shootings?
Speaking of that, did you see that see what happened with the Onion?
No.
It was so funny because the Onion did a story like that day that said nation celebrates 1 week of no horrific mass shooting, and then they had to update it, and it was never mind.
the Empire State Building one?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I think it's one of those weird statistical blip things that happens, right? Where things bunch up. And so you notice, and so the gambler's fallacy is, oh, this is something important, whereas just random things happen in a random sequence, you're going to get bunches.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's what it is. You know, what you can say is that, you know, if this keeps tracking along, then that's not what it is. That is a good example for, let's say, global warming, where you say a weird weather phenomenon here, weird weather phenomenon there, you know, in the course of a week or so, mm-hmm. does not mean anything. A whole stack of them over the course of several years, that's something significant. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so let's not fall for the gambler's fallacy. Let's wait and see if there is going to be a lull or back to normalcy at some point. But if there is not, then there's something to talk about. Right now, I don't know that there's anything to talk about without bloviating without a reason.
Mm-hmm. I hear you exactly. Speaking of shootings, one that happened a while ago, that guy from Norway was found sane and guilty for killing, like, two dozen people. And Norway's maximum penalty is 21 years in prison. And he's going to be in solitary confinement with his own private exercise room and laptop computer. No internet, though. So.
He doesn't get to play solitaire. I mean, being in solitary doesn't matter.
No, he's going to write his racist manifesto.
Maybe, but being in solitary is no. Easy,
yeah.
Trick. Being in solitary confinement is hard on anybody. We are social animals, and doing it for a week is hard. Being stuck in solitary confinement for
21 years
is going to be hard on anybody. So that is.
Then they're gonna put him back in society.
Well, I mean.
Well, if he's deemed a danger still, they can extend it for 7 more years.
You know, what's the point of prison? Is it corrections? Is it supposed to be a correctional facility, or is it supposed to be punishment? And that's the question you have to ask.
I had an idea, just a crazy, you know, off thought the other day. Like, you know, you're sentenced to time in prison, right? I was thinking, like, what if they changed that and made it where it was, like, you know, because they put people, the prisoners can work, right? There's certain prisons where there's you know, circuit boards for the Patriot missile system were made by prisoners. You know,
right, and, well, there is even, like, if it's a small enough crime, you can get out of prison every day to go to your job and then go back to prison at night. I mean, there are situations like that.
Right. So I'm thinking, like, what if your sentence is provide X dollars to the GDP or something like that instead of years in prison, right? It would almost be more, reformational.
Is it?
I don't know.
Like, just giving up money is...
No, no, not giving out money, but...
Giving up money.
Having them earn their way. You know, like, if they come up with a... It could almost become an entrepreneur type in prison, right? And if they...
Again, I question you. What is the purpose of prison? Is it correction? Or is it punishment? Is it somewhere in between? What's the purpose?
I'm sure there's probably some constitutional problems with, you know, that kind of thing where, like, oh, if you can earn your way out of prison, or you can, I guess, like, you know, would that be a debtor's prison?
No. Well, I guess...
it wouldn't be paying back what you owe, though, working right off what you owe. It'd be more of, instead of a sentence in time, it's a sentence in, you know, you could spend 20 years in prison.
It's indentured servitude, essentially.
Well, kind of, but they're already doing it. You know, they're paying them less than minimum wage to do prison jobs.
Right.
You know, in Wyoming, they have them fight forest fires. You know, there's a thing on the news in California. There's a prison where they work at a salmon or some fish farm, right? And tilapia, I think. And the other tilapia farms are pissed off because they can enter the market at a lower rate because their labor rates are so much lower. You know, so they're having people do work. Pennsylvania has them make license plates. You know, I actually toured Western Penn when it was still open and saw the license plate factory and watched the inmates making license plates.
And, I don't know. I mean, like, there's, the prison thing is really weird and kind of an awful situation to me because, you know, you make light of people getting raped and stuff in prison, but that shouldn't ever happen. And it shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't be made light of, first of all, and it shouldn't be what happens in prison. It shouldn't be what people expect to happen in prison, is you have to become somebody's bottom in order to survive. That's a horrible thing, and that is, I believe, cruel and unusual punishment. And I don't think that, you know, I think that there needs to be a significant reform of a prison system, in order to, at least, you know, even though these people have committed crimes, doesn't mean they lose their status as a human.
Right. No, I agree with that. And the question is, how much of that is Hollywood and how much of it is true? I've never done the research.
Yeah. Well, you watched Oz, right? Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad that I've never... I've never even sat inside a prison, much less been.
There was a high situation. I toured the Allegheny County Jail in Western Penn. Really, that's the two times I was there. We were walking into Western Penn in the parking lot. One of the kids found a bullet in the parking lot. Like, shit, what do we do with this? Instead of giving it to, like, the teacher or the cop or anything, he threw it in the parking lot beside the
Western
Penn.
Was it just a...
No, it was a live shell. It was
a cartridge.
Handgun cartridge.
It wasn't just a bullet. It was the whole cartridge.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what you do with that. How does that get...
In the parking lot.
Yeah.
It's like almost like the irony of ironies, you know. It's like not like they find bullets there every day, and we found it on our field trip, you know. Uh-huh. It's like, whoa, you know. But you know, when you're 17 years old, 18 years old, whatever it was, I think you had to be 18 to tour Western Penn. It's like, oh my god, we're in a jail and there's a bullet, you know, like figures.
Yeah, I know, but most people know this, but I just want to clarify. The cartridge is the bullet plus the metal shackling and the,
yeah, the shell casing.
The shell casing and the
gunpowder and the primer.
Yeah, the primer, yeah. So it's what you would stick into a gun. What comes out of a gun is the bullet, and then the shell is ejected. So, mm-hmm. But the cartridge is the whole thing.
Yes.
So that's when you buy bullets, what you're actually buying is cartridges.
Yes, sir.
Batman.
Yes.
I was really less than impressed with Batman. Because I think... Well, first of all, it was overlong. But, I mean, it's a Christopher Nolan movie. Of course, it's going to be overlong. I mean, Dark Knight was overlong. But the Dark Knight had a performance that was, you know, which made it. Which was only, you know, I think 11 or 12 minutes on screen, which was, you know, the Joker, you know, Heath Ledger and the Joker. There was not as strong a villain this time around. Bane kind of sounds like, I'm Sean Connery, and but I'm behind the mask. That's right, Chubbuck. I'm going to get you. That's what Bane sounded like. But it wasn't that bad at first, but really what really I think drove me over the edge of not liking it was there's a side plot with a bomb. A nuclear bomb, which is actually sort of a nuclear device that Wayne Enterprises has been working on, but it's a reactor, a clean reactor, but Bane steals it and it finds a way to use it as a bomb. But it's this big ball that has a countdown timer on it, and it's so cheesy. It was like Fantastic Four cheesy. It didn't fit in with the rest of the stuff going on. And then the story made less sense too, because the whole point was supposed to be that Gotham City was being taken over by Bane and stuff, but he always intended for it to be destroyed anyway.
A lot of work to take over a city if you're just going to blow it all up.
Yeah. And it was on, I mean, and the timer for the blow up was definite, and it was just, he could have blown it up any time, or it would have blown up after a certain period of time. And then, you know, of course, when Batman is finally, and I'm not putting a whole bunch of spoilers here, but of course, Batman finally gets to the bomb and is running away with the bomb, and there's a timer, you know, a digital timer on the bomb that shows how long until
that
it blows
up. Explains the animated GIF that I saw. It was from the old Batman TV series, uh-huh. Where Batman is running with an old timey bomb with a fuse.
And it says, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
And I didn't get it. I just thought it was ridiculous, you know, just making fun of Batman and the old Batman. But I didn't know about this scene.
Yes.
That's funny. It's really funny.
So it was the kind of thing that's like, come on. You know, the whole enjoyment of a Batman series up to this point was that they treat it as realistic as you could possibly treat something along these lines, which is, you know, this guy does not have superpowers. He simply has a lot of money and resources and stuff like that. You know, it's realistic and that nobody figures out that he's the dude that the only guy who can possibly finance this is, of course, the super billionaire who lives in the city. But, yeah.
Greg's watching the old Batman.
Well, that was from the old. That was just from the old series, but
yeah.
Or the old. They made a theatrical movie from the old series. So
he's running down a street full of people with a huge bomb with a fuse burning on it. Not like you couldn't just clutch the fuse.
Well, he said. I mean, he tries. It's funny because I remember that movie, and then he's trying to find a place to go, and he finds a dock, and he goes to one place, and there's a whole bunch of nuns in one area, so he can't throw it there. Then he goes to another area of the dock, and there's like children, and then in another area there's dogs or puppies. Like, and it just says to the camera, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Well, but the old series was that.
It was campy and kitschy, and yeah, it had all that.
I was watching an episode of Batman the other night. I was up late, and Hub was on, I guess, from a kid's cartoon earlier in the day, and you know, watched an episode of Laverne and Shirley. Then I watched an episode of Batman while I was working on the computer, and it was fun. But it's definitely, yeah, it's not, you know, Dark Knight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Dark Knight is supposed to be, you know, a dark sort of character study on why a person would do something like this and how low would a society have to go for this sort of thing to to actually occur. And you know, and there's silliness, you know, to a certain extent that any of it could actually happen. But at least it were, there was reasonableness to it. And this was like a really just sort of cartoon aspect that didn't fit the rest of the movie. I mean, I thought that surprisingly the best performance in the movie came from Anne Hathaway, who was, you know, played Catwoman, but of course never actually called Catwoman because she was just Selina Kyle. She was just, that was who she was, and she was a cat burglar, but she never got, you know, a name associated with her. She was never called the Catwoman or called herself Catwoman. It just, so that does a more reasonable thing. And the only reason, and she had a pair of goggles, and when they came up, they kind of sort of looked like cat ears, so it did that sort of thing. But it was, gotcha. It was a cool way to do it. But the Bane story was silly. It spent too long in a stupid prison thing, and it was overdone. And
why was the football game blowing up and everything?
That was when Bane was taking over the city. That was his show of force, his initial show of force. And then he brought out the big bomb and then showed that, you know, if people didn't listen to him, that he would blow up the bomb and blow up Gotham City.
I see. But at least there'd be no fallout, right? Because it was clean nuclear.
This was a way that he found a way that he could turn. And that was another thing. Okay, so he found a way that he could turn this Wayne Enterprises thing, this nuclear reactor, into basically a 4-megaton bomb.
All right. I mean, I get you could get the energy out, but at least it wouldn't be radioactive after it blew up, right? Because it's clean.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. They didn't describe the process by how to right. Which they turned the reactor into a bomb. Maybe it wouldn't be clean for that process. But the point, though, is if you're powerful enough as Bane, then you could just steal a 4-megaton nuke.
Instead of
having to go through this whole process of this silly energy reactor thing. Just, if you're going to threaten the city with a nuke, nukes are plenty plausible on their own. You don't need to have this whole countdown, you know, digital countdown process. So, and the worst thing about the digital countdown was not even necessarily the count. I mean, well, logically, so there's a countdown on it, but the thing was that so there was a reactor, but it had a stabilizer, and he took the reactor off the stabilizer. And the thing was that it gets more and more, or they said in the dialogue that it gets more and more likely to explode. Not that there's a countdown for how long until it will explode, but apparently there is a countdown for how long it will explode.
Nice.
So,
Neil Armstrong died, you told me?
Yes. Unfortunate, first man to walk on the moon.
Yeah, the article I read after you told me that, you know, I didn't check the news at all today. Sounded like he was having some kind of cardiovascular procedure done. He died
complications.
From complications on that. So that
you're 82 years old and you're having one of those things, complications happens. Plus, like I said to Jeff, you know, these guys went into space. You're more likely to die earlier if you go into space. It's just it's not as healthy an environment as Earth is. It's not have as much protection. So yep. You see a lot of astronauts and people getting cancer in their 50s and 60s and things like that because they're more exposed to cosmic rays and stuff like that.
Did you?
Yes. No. Maybe.
There was a story. Where was that? That was on Radiolab. I was listening to it. No, we talked about the ants on Radiolab. We did not talk about this one. About the guy who lived through both Japanese bomb drops.
Yes.
He was in Hiroshima. He worked for Mitsubishi, I guess. And he was in Hiroshima on business the day the bomb dropped. And he basically withstood the bomb blast. He got lots of radiation, got some burns, took the train back to Nagasaki, his home, went into the office, was talking with the engineers about what he had seen. Like, there's no way that it was possible. You know, that one bomb could, you know, a bomb could do that, you know? And, like, in the midst of the conversation, Nagasaki got bombed. The dude actually lived a long, he had a lot of burns, you know, took a while to get the burns, but he lived a long, healthy life, had children afterwards.
It's not surprising if you know about the way the radiation works. Mm-hmm. The major problem with the nuclear bomb, there's an initial fast burst of radiation that goes out, but the initial problem really is heat. And then with those bombs, they were dirtier than the ones that we have now, and so there was residual fallout, and staying around the residual fallout was worse. He actually moved away from where the residual fallout was, because they didn't really know at the time. He moved to Nagasaki, and I don't know what he did after Nagasaki. He may have gotten out of there, too.
I think he was there, because they talk about his wife had health problems from the black rain, which is rain from fallout rain, radioactive rain, and... They really talked in detail about what the radio, you know, because like the gamma rays boil your cell, like the water in your cells, and that puts off lots of free radicals, which breaks DNA or something.
Right.
But, you know, the thing was, he had remarkably good health, and his DNA wasn't, you know, he didn't pass on. You know, and that's the other thing. Like, they were worried that, like, nuclear bombs in the 40s or whatever, that they would be this thousand-year curse, you know, where, you know, it would be generation, generation, generation. It's not that way. It turns out it's not that way.
Yeah.
I don't remember all the details. I wish I did. Go to Radiolab's website. Find the thing about the unluckiest man in the world or whatever. It's titled something along those lines. Fascinating stuff.
Seems like he's pretty lucky.
That he lived a long, healthy life?
Exactly. That despite being in two nuclear blasts, he lived a long, healthy life. No, but I mean, the whole point is that, like Jeff said, the initial problem from radiation is a water problem. It changes the water in your body, and your body has methods to deal with that. Now, if you get too much of an exposure at once, your body won't be able to handle it. But fortunately, he was not at ground zero, so he wasn't vaporized, and he did not get, the brunt of the blast either time. And he was able to heal. Now there is a
Tsutsumo Yamaguchi.
There is there's a different thing you get from constant radiation, which is that actually breaks up your DNA and causes mutations and gives you more susceptibility to cancer. So there's two different things going on. One is that a constant radiation to you will give you more susceptibility to cancer, and the nuclear blast will change the water in your cells. And if you get too much radiation from that, you'll die. So there's two different ways to die from radiation. So just so you know.
He died at 93 in 2010 in Nagasaki, Japan. Go check out that fascinating story. Could you imagine?
No.
Could you imagine?
No.
Leaving Hiroshima to go home and getting bombed there.
Nagasaki was the second choice.
Was it? What was the...
I forget what the first choice was, but the first choice was had too much cloud cover over it, and they wanted to, when they were doing this, they wanted to get shots of it and stuff like that, so they could ascertain how much damage it was doing, because these bombs were, Fat Man and Little Boy were pretty much two different bomb designs, and they were... didn't quite know exactly how they would work. So they wanted to make sure they got their readings. So Nagasaki was a second choice.
I did not know that.
Now I don't think they care. So now you can't just say, oh, cloud cover, good, I'm not going to get nuked.
Yeah, it was pretty new stuff. Japan didn't know we only had two bombs.
Right.
Or they might not have quit fighting.
Well, we were producing them. It wasn't, it was like, well, if they, let's say they somehow got wind that we only had two, it was like, okay, so we're not going to bomb you next week, but give us a couple more months and we'll get you.
Could be. Anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
Is it, still got an hour to your birthday. Look at that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll go home and, I don't know, jerk off. jerk off to some internet porn.
Yay, happy birthday.
Yay.